Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello and welcome to more vile deeds and virtuous detection in the show that invariably starts with a death and ends with a denouement. To attempt to solve this week's mystery, I am joined by two highly skilled guest investigators, who are both, of course, professional crime writers, and in this case, mistresses of the art of psychological suspense. Frances Fifield is actually a criminal lawyer, which may be worrying news for this week's suspects, and she also writes under the name of Frances Hegarty. Frances, why the two identities?
So that I can hide from people.
Perfectly reasonable answer. All crime writers are devious. Frances is joined in her investigations today by Minette Walters, who's written relatively few crime novels so far, but has had them all garlanded by international awards. Minette, I believe somewhere in your past you were a journalist. Do you think that's going to help you with today's challenge?
I don't know, Simon, but I am praying yes.
Well, I think I can more or less guarantee no. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. But who is going to people today's scenario? I am delighted to say that all the characters in our whodunit will be played once again by Central Casting's dream team, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right, so now it's time for a crime. As we hear Maria read the opening of this week's drama, The Body on the Baseline.
Bruce Hardy, the tennis coach of Grevesham Towers School for Girls, was undoubtedly dead. The door to his office adjacent to the tennis changing rooms was open, and he appeared to have staggered away from the room where he kept his court booking sheets, his wide range of rackets, balls, and restringing machine. He had gone through the open wire netted gate onto number one court and expired on the baseline. The hero and secret fantasy of every girl in the school, who had been so promising at Junior Wimbledon, who had represented the army at the sport, and was still a contender in the over-35 tournaments, had reached his final. His rigid, deeply tanned hands stretched up helplessly to his rigid, deeply tanned throat, around which a loop of synthetic gut had been drawn fatally tight. The only thing Bruce Hardy would be restringing in the future was a harp.
Well, dramatic stuff, eh? I wonder who else was in on the racket. Early days, but Frances and Minette, has anything you've heard so far caused any suspicious flutterings in your finely tuned antennae?
Well, speaking as an ex-public school girl, yes, it's his age, you see. Over 35, the girls have got a crush on him, you know. Oh, there's got to be something murky and... What do you think, Frankie?
Well, first of all, I think he's got to be gay, over 35, and...
and all the girls...
Yes,
would
Simon
have been
this... wrote this, remember?
Yes. actually, you haven't really got a lot to go on yet, have you? I think we'd better catch up with what the police are doing about the case and go straight over to a press conference where the officer in charge, Inspector Sergeant, is sharing his findings with journalists.
Well, the police surgeon who has examined Mr. Hardy's body reckons he was killed while sitting at his workbench, possibly restringing a racket. On the workbench was found a crumpled-up piece of paper on which, in the victim's handwriting, were written the words, "I know your secret. Come and talk about it down at my office at 7:15 this evening." Mr. Hardy's assailant is believed to have crept up behind him, slipped a previously prepared loop of synthetic gut over his head, and pulled it tight with a downward motion. The suddenness of the attack means that it need not have been perpetrated by anyone of more than average strength. Mr. Hardy's body was discovered at 7:30 p.m. By the school's bursar, Captain George Spriggs, who, as was his custom, was walking around the school to check everything was all right. Which, of course, sadly, in this case, it wasn't. Captain Spriggs went straight back to the main building to report what he'd found to the headmistress, Ms. Rumbold. The last time Mr. Hardy was seen alive seems to have been when he came to the end of conducting an hour's private tennis lesson with a lower fourth former, Miss Melissa Devereux.
Thank you, Inspector. So now we have a bit more to go on. At least we've got some names to play with. Minette and Francis, are your suspicions yet moving in any specific direction?
If this guy wasn't gay... maybe he was. Maybe you're right, Frankie.
I'd quite like to ask the officer more about what he's found at the scene of the crime, perhaps a bit more than the bald explanation he's given. The source of the gut, if that doesn't sound too rude a question.
Yes.
Do we know where that came from?
Sadly, I see his pander even now disappearing into the distance. So I'm afraid you can't ask him any supplementary questions. I'm sorry about that. And we're about to get more information in the form of statements from three of the people who knew the murder victim, Bruce Hardy. First, we will hear from the headmistress of Grevesham Towers School for Girls, Ms. Vicky Rumbold.
Yeah, hi. Well, you know, this has all been awfully upsetting for the girls, but they're all having counselling. Bruce was a very popular member of staff, both in the common room and with the pupils. He did most of his coaching at Grevesham Towers, but also a few private lessons for the boys from St. Cyril's. I'm sure all my girls had crushes on Bruce, yes. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, although this is a single-sex school, I do try to ensure that the girls get a proper injection of male company. I mean, I've always said, show the dog the rabbit, you know. I try to get a lot of male staff members, and we have a lot of social functions with the boys from St. Cyril's. Well, Bruce had been at Grevesham Towers, 4 or 5 years now, I suppose, yeah. I think he left the army, then tried to make it on the professional tennis circuit, and came to the decision that coaching suited him better. Right, well... I knew him as I knew any other member of staff. You know, he'd come round to dinner sometimes at my house, that kind of thing. Nothing more. No, not my type at all. No, I've never married. Well, just as well, probably, because this job takes all my energy, without having to worry about some pathetic man whinging around all the time. My hands, yeah, I cut the palms on some barbed wire while I was doing a bit of gardening. Anyway, if that's all, the sooner I get back to the office, the better, because I've got to return a lot of calls from neurotic parents, you know, calm them down a bit, maybe give them a bit of counselling. You know how it is, don't you?
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Rumble, but I'm afraid I do have to detain you for a few minutes more. Now, of course, guest investigators, what you're hearing in these statements may be true and may be false, but... hopefully you can find that out by cross-examination. Francis, maybe you would like to have first crack at the headmistress.
Could I ask you first, Miss Rumbold, a deeply personal question?
Yeah.
If the deceased wasn't your type, what is?
I quite liked Laurence Olivier in the film Rebecca.
I agree with you.
You know, I don't really have time for personal relationships. It's quite a difficult school to run.
Yes, but it would appear that you do encourage personal relationships between your girls and members of the opposite sex, like the boys from the neighbouring school, or indeed...
Well, only if they're supervised. I don't like to let them run riot, you know.
I'd like to ask you, Miss Rumbold, about yourself. Can you tell... how old are you?
I'm 44.
You're 44, and do you know how old Bruce Hardy was, the victim?
It's hard to tell with men like that, really, isn't it? Because he was quite well preserved.
So he was a rather handsome man.
Well,
and you say he's not your type, but he's clearly quite a handsome fellow.
Well, you know, he'd got all the bits in the right places.
Oh, okay. Now tell me, you look after all these girls, for which I do admire you.
Thank
you. Does this ever give you a sense that you would have liked children yourself? Do you ever get broody?
No, not really.
Never?
No. I've been teaching for a long time now.
How would you describe how the girls regard you? Do they regard you with affection? Are you a popular headmistress? Or?
I'm pretty firm with them.
You're pretty
firm. I think, you know, most girls respect that.
And how do the staff regard you, Miss Rumbold? Do you have a good relationship with your staff, the teachers?
Yeah, I think that's very important that we all get on.
Yes,
can I ask
Francis.
One more question? Your damaged hands, you seem to think you did that on barbed wire. How on earth did you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, I've been training the privet.
Surely Miss Rumbold is an extremely busy and highly competent, I'm sure, headmistress. You have somebody else to barber the privet.
No, that's my relaxation. You know, we've got to all turn off sometime, haven't we? Otherwise we'd all need counselling.
I'm afraid your time is up. Thank you very much, Miss Rumbold, head of a privet school. And it's time for us to move on to our second statement, which comes from the bursar of Grevesham Towers, Captain George Spriggs.
Nasty business. Doesn't do to make a fuss, though. Army teaches you to deal with death. It is the game we're in, after all. Yes, well, I left the army 3 years ago. They amalgamated a couple of regiments. When they offered a generous package, I thought, well, time to spread the old wings. This billet at Grevesham Towers came up just that ticket. Nice schoolhouse for me and the wife. What? No, don't play tennis. Got me leg smashed up in the Falklands. Yeah, still gives me a bit of jip when the wind's in an easterly direction. No, never met Bruce Hardy before I came to Grevesham Towers. Didn't even know he'd been in the army. Yeah, well, I didn't dislike him. Didn't have a lot in common, that's all. Now, personally, I thought he rather flirted with the girls. No, I'm not suggesting Bruce did anything inappropriate. I'm just saying, well, he didn't do anything to dampen a girl's ardour. And as you can imagine, a school like this, positive vat of female hormones. Me? Oh, good heavens, no. The younger woman's never appealed to me. I'm a happily married man. Veronica's 10 years older than me, and we've never had a crossword in 17 years of marriage. Is that it? Can I stand down, or do you want to debrief me?
Thank you, Captain Spriggs. yes, if you could stay with us for a few questions, we'd be most grateful. Minette, would you like to debrief the captain?
Yes, I'm fascinated by you, Captain Spriggs. Can you tell me how old you are?
49. 49 last birthday.
Okay, you're 49 and your wife is 59, I
guess. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Right, and I rather admire Miss Rumbold. She's a rather handsome woman. 44.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have got a bit of a soft spot for Miss Rumbold, have you?
Respect is more of a word,
respect,
I say.
Right.
I think a thing like a school, like a regiment, runs on respect.
Tell me, did Bruce Hardy find Miss Rumbold as attractive as you appear to?
Sorry? Well, oh, no, I wouldn't say I find her attractive. No.
You have respect for her.
I have respect
you
for
don't,
her.
You wouldn't say that was that you found
well,
her
no,
attractive
Well, no, I had respect for a Colonel Major Sanderson, but I didn't want to go to bed with him. Good Lord.
Francis, I'm sure you have some questions.
Can I ask you a bit more about your career in the army? Wounded in the Falklands, exactly,
yes.
You know, how and where were you wounded?
I took a bit of a bayonet in the thigh.
There were bayonets in the Falklands?
There were plenty of them, stuck to the ends of things,
really?
And they were sharp. They were sharp, buggers, let me tell you.
Can't recall that from newspaper reports. And I would imagine that Ms. Rumbold was familiar with your army career. You'd fill her in with all the details of it.
Well, I gave her references, as one would, and they seemed satisfactory, yes.
And do they include, the references include reference to the fact that you were wounded in the Falklands with a bayonet in the thigh?
No, it doesn't, actually. I try not to talk about that. You force it out of me, rather, I have to say. And, no, I'm fine. No, it's just got something in my eye, that's all.
I don't doubt you. You're fine, Mr. Spriggs. But can you say, do you enjoy your work there? The job is extremely important
yes.
to you?
Oh, yes.
I'm afraid I'll have to stop you there. Thank you very much, Captain Spriggs.
Thanks, sir.
For being so very helpful. And we move on now to our third statement, which comes from a pupil at Grevesham Towers, who was, in fact, coached by the late Bruce Hardy, and her name is Melissa Devereux.
It's awfully sad, isn't it? But I could see that Mr. Hardy was attractive, but he wasn't my type, you know. A bit old for me, actually. And he's got all that sort of hair up his nostrils as well. Anyway, I've got a boyfriend. I'm actually going out with the captain of St. Cyril's First 15, Greg Burton. He's a flanker. I know some of the younger girls fantasised about Mr. Hardy, but not me. I don't need fantasies. I've got Greg, you see. Greg's very into sports. He's really dishy. Now, I can't see him much during term time, but he writes every couple of days. Lovely handwritten letters, and during the halls, well, the old rumbler can't see what we get up to then, can she? Oh, sorry, the old rumbler is like, nickname for Miss Rumble. Don't tell her, will you? No, straight after my lesson, I got changed in the changing rooms and then I went to my study to write to Greg. Now, I didn't see anyone. Well, you have a study on your own when you get into the lower fourth. Oh, now, I don't know anything about Mr. Hardy's private life. I mean, Only the rumours that went round. Well, you know, silly things. You know, like he and the old rumbler were having it off. But then some of the girls reckon she's having it off with everyone male who comes to the school. I've heard her linked with the bursar, you know, old Spriggers. When the bishop came to do confirmations, I heard one of the juniors saying that old Rumbler was having it off with him. I mean, honestly. Is that it? Can I go now? Because I haven't written my letter to Greg yet today.
Thank you very much, Melissa. I'm sorry if you wouldn't mind just staying for a moment. Thank you. Right, time for your cross-examination. Francis, maybe you'd like to kick off.
Melissa, this was a private tennis coaching session with Bruce.
Yes.
Were these frequent, the private coaching sessions, or did he teach tennis on a broader base than that?
No, I started having private lessons with him because since I developed, my backhand is not being as good as it was. So I thought I'd get a bit of extra coaching.
But who actually paid for this private tuition?
My father.
Your father?
My father, yes.
And did he know that it was private tuition with the only man in the school, so to speak?
Well, there's Spriggers as well.
Yes, 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 I know there's Spriggers as well, but, I mean, Bruce was... I know you say too
Spriggers
old for you,
has got
but
a different
kettle of fish.
I mean, well, no, I think Daddy was very pleased because he knows that Mr. Hardy's reputation as a tennis coach is fantastic.
Yes.
He does the boys as well at St. Cyril's.
So is he known to your boyfriend, Greg?
No, Greg's a flanker. He does rugby.
So your motives in private coaching for tennis are not necessarily then to keep up with Greg, because obviously you're not going to take up rugby, are you?
No. Be silly, wouldn't it?
You wanted to learn tennis to impress Greg, but Greg isn't interested in tennis.
Well, no, he does play, but really, you mustn't tell Rumblers this. Sometimes when I go and do my tennis coaching, I have met Greg afterwards.
Ah, so there was a motive for the private tennis coaching. It wasn't strictly speaking
no,
about
on that particular
but the tennis. The tennis area is removed from the rest of the school. It is, in fact, has proved to be a convenient
I'm
place
sorry,
to
Francis,
meet Greg.
I'm sorry, Francis. My client is a minor. I think you're getting a little too assertive. Minette, do you have a question for
I
Melissa?
I do. Yes, Melissa. You're another very attractive person.
Thank you. Do you want to know how old I am?
Yes, I do. That's exactly what I want
You've
to know.
You've asked everyone else. I'm 14.
You're 14?
Yes.
You're dating the rugby captain of St. Cyril's Public School for Boys. It's very unusual for girls of your age to prefer young boys or young-ish boys. Normally, you prefer older men. That's how it works. I suspect you had rather a crush on Bruce Hardy, didn't you?
No, I love Greg. Greg and I just love each other. It's very pure at the moment.
Tell me, what's have you done your GCSEs yet?
No, not yet.
No. Have you got any predicted grades for them?
I don't think they'll be very good.
They won't be very good.
Thank you very much, Miss Devereux, for being so forbearing.
Thank you.
Well, Francis and Minette, we've had our three statements, and where have they left your calculations?
I think we've got a wonderful triangle operating here, and the question is it George Spriggs, Vicky Rumbold, and Mrs. Spriggs?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the triangle? Or is it Melissa, Bruce, and... sorry, I should have introduced Bruce as well into that. We'd have had a quadruple. What was it called?
It's called a square, I think.
I swear. Yes, I think this is a love situation, I think.
Yes, right. Well, thank you. Francis?
I'm sort of veering towards Captain George Spriggs because I'm not too sure about this wound in the thigh and his rather marvellous past, which somehow doesn't seem to coincide with his rather ordinary present.
Mm-hmm. Well, very interesting. Because... will you excuse me? Sorry. Hello? Oh, really? Ah, thank you very much. Yes, yeah. OK, I'll tell them. Thanks. Well, Francis and Minette, I'm very pleased to be able to announce that from that phone call, some new evidence has emerged. So without further ado, let's go straight over to WPC Bobby and get the latest update from her.
I would like to play you a recording of part of an interview I conducted with Gregory Burton, a sixth form pupil at St. Cyril's Public School for Boys.
Sorry about the plaster cast. Only fractured my arm when the scrum collapsed on me against Fruttingham, didn't I? Haven't been able to write for the last 6 weeks, but the beaks got me tapping out my A-level marks on the computer. No, well, I just heard something interesting. Mate of mine, Squibbs, his old man's in the army, and he's done some check through the records, and he reckons that no Captain Spriggs ever served in the Falklands, so, you know, I'll just pass that on. I don't know if it's useful. Oh, did I tell anyone about it? Let me think. I might have mentioned it to that tennis coach chap who comes up from Gresham Towers. I can't remember, to be quite honest. No, I haven't mentioned it to my parents. Not really my parents, actually. I was adopted. Well, kind of fostered. The school fees and what have you get paid out of some trust fund. I don't know who my real parents are. What? Girls? Good Lord, no. No time for that. I spend every spare minute training. Difficult with this rotten arm, but I'm getting quite good at one-handed press-ups, you know.
Minette and Francis, have these new developments changed the direction in which your minds were wandering?
Well, I'm most interested. He appears to be denying Melissa, if I understood that right.
Well, do you think we have an example of two people saying different things?
Well, it sounded to me like that.
I think Gregory might deny the existence of Melissa however much he liked her at that age, just in case he was found out.
I think she's telling stories myself.
Really? The guest investigators are now allowed to call back to the stand all three of the people who previously made statements. Francis and Minette, who would you like to call back first?
Well, should we do them in order? Should we have Ms. Rumbold first?
Ms. Rumbold, if we could draw you away from the telephone to the stand,
thank
you.
Yeah, it's been hell, actually.
Ms. Rumbold, are you aware of the rumours which circulate among the girls about you? Namely, that, you know, in private, you have, in all possibility, had affairs with Bruce Hardy, possibly with old Spriggs, as they call him.
Yeah, but
and even
I
the
just
visiting
say,
bishop.
Yeah, you know what young girls are like. You know, there's not much going on in their personal lives, so they make up a lot of stories. I mean, you must remember what it was like to be young when your hormones were racing.
Still are.
Too far.
Oh, sure, yeah. I didn't mean any... Well, maybe I did.
Thank you very much, Miss Rumbold. Who would you like to call next?
Spriggs.
Captain Spriggs, if you could hobble to the stand. Thank you.
Captain Spriggs.
Yes.
We're a little doubtful, I have to say, about your rank, as we seem to have had some evidence to the effect that you were never in the army.
The initials SAS mean anything to you? Don't spread it around, shall I?
Right, well, thank you very much, Captain Spriggs. We will try to preserve your secrecy. There is one person, of course, who you have yet to call to the stand. Would you like to address the odd question to young Melissa?
Yes, you would. Please.
Melissa, would you come to the stand? Thank you.
Miss Deborah, we've been told, I regret to say, from other sources, that your relationship, I'm sure relationship is the right word, rather than affair, whatever, with Greg of St. Cyril's, is purely a matter of personal fantasy. Would it upset you to know that he denies your existence?
He would deny it because he loves me and he wouldn't want me to get into trouble. You know, we're not supposed to have relations with any of the boys from the school.
Melissa, I think you've been telling the most appalling lies. I think you were having a torrid time with Bruce Hardy, who you knew was having an affair with Ms. Rumbold. And Ms. Rumbold caught you together on the tennis court, and shortly afterwards, Bruce Hardy ended up dead. Am I right?
No.
Thank you. A very full answer. I now want to know who you think really killed Bruce Hardy. Minette, is that your view? Is that where you're going to point the finger?
I've been running through the gamut, you see. I'm convinced there's a triangle operating here. But I have to say I'm going with Vicky Rumbold, the headmistress. I think she was deeply affronted when she discovered that Bruce, her love, was actually doing naughty things with the girls, in particular Melissa.
Francis, are you of the Rumbold persuasion?
I'm not of the Rumbold persuasion. I'm still with my Captain George Spriggs, possibly because I don't like him very much. But the idea that the army keep no records of him, I think he was being blackmailed. by Bruce Hardy. I think he had possibly the motives, the blackmail motives, and the opportunity.
Well, thank you. Two finely reasoned solutions, as I might have expected from a trained lawyer and journalist. But are they right? Well, we're about to find out. It's time to hear the truth, or an approximation of it, in this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Lee and Maria, transport us to a tennis court at 7 o'clock on a summer's evening.
Yeah, yeah, that's better, Melissa, but you're still rushing the build-up. Nice and easy, remember, then speed up.
I am trying, Mr. Hardy.
Yeah, no, you are. It'll come, don't worry. Look, better call it a day there. I've got to restring a couple of rackets.
Oh, right, Mr. Hardy. Thank you very much for the lesson.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Mr. Hardy?
Yeah, Melissa?
You don't think this skirt's too short, do you?
Oh, hadn't noticed. Well, it looks all right to me.
Oh. I'll go and get changed then.
Yeah. Kids. Oh, well. Yeah, better get on.
I told the parents half a term's notice and she's out.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, George, will you excuse me a moment? I need to have a quick word with Bruce in private.
Oh, well, I needed to talk to him too. All right, don't worry. I'll catch up with him later. See you back in the common room, Mrs. Rumbold.
For heaven's sake, call me Vicky. Right, here we go.
Come in.
Evening, Bruce.
Vicky?
I got your note.
Yeah, I reckoned if I put it in your pigeonhole, you would.
So, you know my secret?
Sure do.
Should I ask which secret?
I don't think you need to. To give you a clue, it's the secret at St. Cyril's.
I thought it might be.
I've been doing some research. I found out that you had an illegitimate son 16 years ago, called Gregory. That you had him adopted, that he's taken his adoptive parents' surname, Burton. And that you set up a trust fund to pay his way through St. Cyril's.
All right.
You don't deny it?
Certainly not.
So you've got this great hunk of a son. I give him private tennis lessons. No doubt you pay for those too. Greg's all right. Usual bone-headed public schoolboy. 16 years old and never been near a girl.
Why are you telling me things I already know?
Well, I was just wondering how much it's worth to you for me to keep my mouth shut about all this.
It's worth nothing, Bruce. 17 years ago, having an illegitimate son might have done me some harm. Certainly with the Board of Governors at Grevesham Towers. But now the climate's changed. I think it's time I owned up.
You mean you don't care if I tell everyone about you having an illegitimate son?
No. It'll do my image the world of good.
Now, what are you doing here?
I heard what you were saying through the wall of a changing room.
Yeah?
You know about Greg Burton.
What? That he's the son?
No! You know that he's never had a girlfriend.
So? Look, I've got to get on restringing this racket.
But ever find out the truth.
I don't think you're going to die over something like that, Melissa.
No, Mr. Hardy, but you are. Great. Now all I've got to do is murder Miss Rumble too, and my secret's safe forever. I love you, Greg.
So now we know the truth of what happened on that benighted tennis court. Well, our guest investigators had three names to choose from, and they both managed to avoid the right one. were you convinced by that solution, Minette?
Well, all I can say is Melissa's much better developed than I thought she was at 14 years old. You know, no, she's got muscles, hasn't she?
Yes, I
didn't notice them the first time round.
No. Frances?
I'm deeply unconvinced by it. I think it's totally ingenious and a tribute to you, but it's absolutely and utterly implausible. I love it. I love it on that account.
That's why I write crime fiction. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this week's Foul Play. My thanks, as ever, go to our cast of distinguished tragedians, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And thanks also to, it says in the script, our extremely percipient guest investigators, but I'll say our very game guest investigators, Frances Fifield and Minette Walters. We'll be right back.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Anne Jobson.